So today I want to talk about, is there an API for that? And specifically, I will say what I mean by that. But I work for a provider of online manuscript submission and peer review systems. We also have an online production tracking system that we offer. And really what we aim to do is to be innovative, because none of our customers has ever come to us and said, yeah, we're kind of done with that innovation thing. Not happening anymore, you know? And if they were to say that to us, we would say, you may have a problem continuing to have customers if you don't innovate. So really, more than anything, variety, allowing the system to do a variety of things and integrate in a variety of ways has become more and more important. I brought my phone up here, thankfully not to call anyone, I promise, but just to point out one of my favorite sayings about smartphones that can be repeated is that my phone is only one of the applications on this device. And in fact, it's not the one I use most frequently. Although I do, you know, consider it a phone and still call it a smartphone. So really, we need to think about what it is that we can do with systems and not anticipate that there will only be one place anything, content, metadata, articles, authors, users are going or doing. So I might want to look at my phone right now. I might want to look on a laptop or on a desktop PC later. I might even want to print a PDF off and read it later. So just keep in mind, variety is just something that people have come to expect, and we can't disappoint them or we will lose them. So I also will talk a little bit about the common implementation motivation. So why are people innovating? Why are people innovating and integrating with the things that I'll talk about today? It's for one reason. So when I say, is there an API for that? What am I talking about? An application programming interface. So I know many years ago, because I worked at a printer, we would commonly have customers who would say things like, well, this looks great, but it needs to be a little more blue. You know, and that's the common thing people say. Well, I really like this color of blue, and I'll try to convince you that it's right. But one of the things about an API is that it's going to declare exactly how the systems can interact. So saying, oh, well, we want to integrate with Fundref is not really enough. You know, they had to determine how that integration would happen, what kind of systems will get to talk to each other, and also what information should be passed back and forth between the systems. And you certainly wouldn't want to allow a third party, a vendor, or an initiative to have complete access to your database. That, to me, would seem like a very, very poor idea. So really, that's what I mean when I say, is there an API for that? If one of our customers comes to us and says, here's what we want to integrate with, that's one of the first questions that we ask. Have they integrated before? Do they have standards for how they want to integrate? So today I'll just talk briefly about Fundref, ORCID, and Data Harmony, and how we have integrated with those particular systems. So thankfully, earlier today, I know there was a little bit of a discussion about Fundref, so that's not the first time you've heard anyone talk about Fundref, but really the point of Fundref is to have a collaborative group agree on a list of funding agencies so that when authors are submitting manuscripts, they can say which funding agencies they were in contact with and have that information stored as part of the manuscript and then, of course, as the metadata. So thankfully, of course, Crossref has facilitated that. And this is just a screenshot. Certainly these slides will be available later. I was not under the impression that the favorite thing you will see or hear today was actually a submission screen from one particular system, but certainly we have spaces for people to enter in information about who their funders are, and then a grant reference number, a principal investigator's first name, last name, and then email address as well. And then, of course, we have multiple boxes because we understand that not all researchers are going to have only one funding agency that they work with. So, additionally, another thing very, very few journals have ever said to me was that our authors spell everything correctly the first time. So in that instance, it can be very nice to have an autocomplete list. So as I start typing words, in this case, the word cancer, it can then bring me back a list of possible options that match that from the list. And I'm sure most of us are familiar as we start typing in Google. Google starts asking us, well, is this what you want? Is this what you want? So certainly having that type of auto-completion can be important. And then also, if there is a short name or an abbreviation that's common that's included in the list, such as NSF, then that could also trigger and be brought up, which will be very helpful for a lot of people funded by the NSF, but also you can see National Stroke Foundation is one of the options that comes up there. Pardon me. And then, of course, the question is, where does the list come from? So certainly FundRef has worked to make sure that that will be available, and I'll certainly let them address questions about what they're doing for that. But the original list that's been provided to us at this point has got 4,000 different records and was initially created by Elsevier. So that list of funding agencies can be updated in the system purely by clicking the update FundRef data button in our system. And then we check to make sure, of course, have things changed on the previous list. So we're not changing every single record that's on the now updated list, but if things have been deleted or added or changed in any way, that can then be included in the list. So that's one example. The second example I want to talk about with integration was also discussed earlier today, ORCID. And ORCID is yet another way of saying, can we please have a standard or an ID, an identifier? And this one, of course, would be something that researchers themselves would have. So you would have an ORCID, and that could not only be tied to the paper that you're doing right now, but also all of the papers that you have published previously and will publish in the future. Not that surprisingly, there are two scenarios I just want to talk about briefly. So in the first scenario, the corresponding author who might be submitting the paper does not know all of the other authors' ORCIDs. And I think that that's certainly going to be common for some time. I know that they will certainly be marketing the effort and making sure people are aware, but I have certainly, you know, rarely sent identifying information off to other people up until the point when they've asked for it. So I think it's quite likely that all of the co-authors might have ORCIDs but not be known by the corresponding author. So certainly in the system, once an author has submitted a manuscript, we may then want to trigger an email that would go with instructional text to each of the co-authors. Certainly we're going to give them some instructions, but then actually link them directly to ORCID. They may need to register. I don't know how soon, it's anticipated the majority of authors in each discipline would then have an ORCID. Once they have actually then registered in the system, they would then allow ORCID to provide that information back to eJournal Press, and then eJournal Press could store the ORCIDs for all of the authors as just part of the rest of the author metadata for each individual article in the system. And then, of course, the important reason to store the data in the first place is so that you can export it as part of the information when the manuscript is either sent to a production system or sent to be published. And then, of course, there is scenario two, where the corresponding author actually knows all of the other author's ORCIDs and can enter those in. Now, in that case, certainly it would not surprise me if it becomes something that editorial staff do to just kind of double check that information was entered in correctly, or make sure that some information is sent back and forth between ORCID and the peer review system to say, well, they have the first and last name and email address and institution and so on and forth, right, this ORCID appears to be valid. So that's a second kind of integration that really, you know, something that's really kind of on the forefront, and certainly we'll have some people take it up at the very beginning, and then I would assume as it shows how well it works, the rest of the publishing community will kind of follow. So the third type of integration I want to talk about today is with a company called Data Harmony. And Data Harmony is a company that aims to provide knowledge management solutions based on a systematically applied taxonomy. So for a lot of publications, this could be a very good idea, especially if they're having a hard time really organizing that information in a meaningful way. So for example, in our system, we have two methods that we can integrate with Data Harmony. One is automatic and one is more manual. And often when you're implementing a new feature in the system, it's nice to have an opportunity to trigger it manually as well, so that you can do it for things that were submitted in the system prior to this new functionality being rolled out. So we've got a link here to some Data Harmony terms. You would click the link to submit, and then you would choose from the list. And then the customer, or the journal in this case, would have a defined list from which you could choose, as well as there would be an option to search in the system. And then once you have chosen items that you'd like to associate with the manuscript, you would simply click submit, and then the results would show up now as part of the manuscript's metadata and are stored there in the system. And so yes, if you wanted to do it interactively or only for some manuscripts instead of for all of the manuscripts that you receive, that is an option. But then also if you would like to do it automatically, it can populate you a list of terms there as well. So in all of these different options, with ThunderF, with ORCID, with Data Harmony, why did eJournal Press, as a provider of peer review systems, choose to integrate with each of those systems? And there's only one reason. It's because our customers required it so that their business would work as they see that it needs to. So I really just want to say, you know, when someone says, oh, we'd like to integrate, one of the really important things to say is, how is that going to actually be beneficial? You know, it's really not necessarily a great idea to spend your time and your money having something coded and testing it if it's really not going to be a benefit for the publication. So that's really the common motivation for us. Also, I did include a slide, since I know these will be available, so you can link to where I found my definitions and information about ThunderF, ORCID, and Data Harmony. And that kind of wraps up what I have to say. So.